Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Dios FM.
And I am Mala Muñoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast, hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners, breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we were podcasting independently since 2016, but joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
This year, we're continuing to share stories from the Latinx community para todo el mundo.
Welcome to Season 8.
Are you listening?
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 8 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
You're tuning in to capítulo 169.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we spoke with Gloria Osborne Sheeler about setting boundaries. Listen to our 5-part mental health mini-series. Leave us a review and share with a friend.
So today, we're using this episode to catch up with y'all. We're mid-August. Summer is ending soon-ish, fall is around the corner. And so we just wanted to talk about what we've been up to this summer and what the heck is going on in the world, y'all, because there's hurricanes, there's earthquakes, fires, like what is happening?
Yes, we just survived a hurricane. We got a hurricane update and then we got an earthquake warning and we got flood warnings, and Hurricane Hillary landed in LA and really the eye of the storm apparently settling over Dodger Stadium and Compton. There's been flooding all over. Where I'm at, it was kind of light rain. The farmers market still went on. People were out and about in flip-flops, so I didn't really feel the hurricane. You know, how were things in your neck of the woods?
So for anyone listening outside of California or the U.S., it is not common or normal to have a hurricane in Los Angeles in California. That is like the result of global collapse, of climate change, of everything. And so for me, it was raining pretty hard, but it felt like, other than the humidity, a pretty regular LA storm. We've had some in the last couple of years with, you know, downfall, intense raining all day. And Angelinos just really don't know what to do with the rain. So I always think it's best just to stay inside because we already don't know how to drive, and then add the rain. So I was okay. Things were okay with us. We prepped as best as we could. You know, I think what I found really funny, or just very LA of us, is that we were all very unserious about the weather, about there being a potential hurricane. Like, nobody, we're not equipped to handle like a hurricane. We don't even know what to expect. And I think that's why we were so unserious about it. Like, I saw a lot of memes of like me with my backup charger and my one water bottle feeling like I'm prepared.
Oh, yeah. I like hit my Uber Eats order. Like, I was coming in from Modesto. So on the grapevine on the way down, I'm seeing all this storm stuff. And I'm like, well, let me stock up. So I put in my, like, you know, Uber Eats delivery and my weed delivery. And I've been set for the weekend to weather the storm. But I also feel like it's the flooding, right? Because our drainage is terrible. Our roads are already a mess, even without severe flash flooding. So it's like that stuff that I think is driving, you know, the warnings to stay inside and don't commute if you don't have to. I mean, LAUSD canceled classes. My mom's a teacher. They canceled classes at her school. And it was all because of the flooding, which is valid. We don't want, and we had even more severe rain earlier in the year, and people did get caught in the floods. They tried to drive through, you get stuck. That was happening earlier this year. So we need to start learning, I think, you know?
Yeah, I think personally, me and my family were a little more like earthquake prepared. And I think since that earthquake back in 2019, we started like stocking up on emergency supplies, and then the pandemic hit. So we have like a food supply, emergency food supply. And we've kind of just been rolling with it and getting more prepared as the years go by. But there's things that we don't have, like a generator. And people were, like, I was on TikTok and people from out of state were stitching with Angelinos like, hey, like, I don't think you realize how serious this is. Like, y'all are thinking it's just rain. Like, well, we're afraid of rain. And this is what y'all should be doing. And they were talking about like prepping your go bag. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have to evacuate, these are the documents you should take. And I was like, what? Like, should we be planning to evacuate? Like, possibly, right. You know? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I don't know anything, actually.
Yeah, no, I mean, hurricanes, like boarding up windows, sandbags, like these are not things that we're used to. Like, you know, people in Florida and Louisiana, they're like, they know what they need to do at this point. Us, not so much. But as these things continue and as we continue to get more tropical weather, you know, it's like, okay, when we get a warning, we should be prepared. But I think that having gone through the pandemic, like we saw that was some real shit. So I had this sense of people in general, even if we were being silly about it, at least acknowledging like, oh, this is a real thing that's happening. Maybe we should, even if it's just, you know, a 12 pack of water, let me get something, you know?
Yeah, totally. I agree. And we are on the other side of it. I think no rain in the forecast. It's a very beautiful, sunny Monday. So I think that we're in the clear.
Yeah, everyone's fine. Everything is fine.
So aside from this midsummer storm, Mala, I know you have some updates, some like an updated look, some really huge, amazing comedy gigs that you've been involved in. So tell us more about it.
Yes, it's been honestly a very eventful summer, a really good summer, lots of exciting developments and changes and shows. So shout out Marcela Arguello, who had me perform on a couple really big shows this summer. Marcela is the booker and host of an iconic stand-up show called Women Crush Wednesdays. I used to go to Women Crush Wednesdays at the Hollywood Improv, and Marcela started that show at the Belly Room in the Comedy Store years ago. And this summer, Marcela brought Women Crush Wednesdays to the Ford Amphitheater in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. And it was a really, really cool lineup. I was on the lineup along with folks like Katie McVeigh and Lydia Popovich and Atsuko, which was really exciting. She was a drop-in guest. Meatball was also on the lineup. So it was just a really, really good time. And then Marcela had me host her show. She was headlining at the State Theater in Modesto. So I just got home from hosting Marcela's show in Modesto. And it was cool because she's from Modesto. It's a hometown crowd. Like, her first grade teacher was there. Her siblings were there. Folks who like went to the same high school as her. So it was like really special. And I felt very honored. And it was a good, good time. What else?
We also... I wanted to just say, we've also had Marcela Arguello on twice for Locatora Radio. So if you're new to her work, or you're hearing this name for the first time, or you're interested in learning more, there's two episodes for y'all to listen to. One was during season 6, and then one mm-hmm. was during season 7.
Marcela has a special, an HBO special called Bitch Grow Up, and you can watch it. It's streaming on Max, but it's an HBO special. So go ahead and give her special a watch. She used to be on at midnight all the time. She has a comedy album that she put out a few years ago called The Woke Bully, and you can follow her at Marcela Comedy. So she's great. She opens for Hasan Minhaj on the road, which is exciting and cool. So yeah, we love Marcela. And what else happened this summer? I went to Guadalajara. I had a great time. We went to my grandma's little pueblo, and it was really cute and fun. We visited a nursing home run by nuns and spent the entire day there. And we celebrated the Mother Superior's birthday. We had rum with all the retirement home residents. It was so fun. And speaking of my grandma Nacha, I moved out of her house. I no longer live above the garage. Huge life update, because since the inception of this show, practically I've been at my grandma's house, and I'm out. I have a lease and a parking spot, and it's a whole thing. So I'm a city girl. I'm loving it. I chopped off all my hair, and I'm giving Liza, I'm giving Demi, I'm giving Anne Hathaway for a second, Toni Braxton iconically and historically, you know what I mean? I'm just in that vein right now. I'm just in that moment. So that's me. Those are my updates.
I love that. The hair looks so good. And it's really been 5 years since you've done the big chop. And I love that this is such a look for you. And people are excited to see it back.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there. I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
It's kind of hilarious. And the last time that I chopped off all my hair, it was another big life change. I had just gotten out of this relationship, and now it's I've gotten out of a different relationship with my grandma and her home. And of course, I'm very happy. My friends are excited for me. My mother is devastated because I'm so young. I'm only 31, and 31 is 13 in Mexican daughter years. So they're coming to terms with it, but they're happy for me. My grandma said she would house it for me because she liked the apartment. Thank God.
You got the seal of approval from Grandma Nacha, which is
important. All that matters.
She was at the Ford for Woman Crush Wednesday, and I sat right behind her, and your mom kept looking over at me because of not necessarily your set, but the other comic set. They're talking about blowjobs, they're talking about sex, they're talking about all kinds of different things. There's a lot of queer women or queer folks also giving, you know, doing their sets and talking about queer things. And so your mom just kept like looking back at me and I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. And she's like, tapale los oídos, cover her ears.
And you know what? My mom, that's like, honestly, that whole thing that my mom was doing is a bit at this point, because my mom and my grandma have come together to a ton of my shows, including at the Laugh Factory with Paul Rodriguez and all those fools. And then at my first time performing at the State Theater in Modesto, and Marcella was performing, and Marcella literally started making fun of them because she saw my mom covering my grandma's ears during her set. And Marcella's like, bitch, she's done worse than what I'm talking about up here. Marcella comes backstage, is talking about this lady and a viejita and the whole exchange and how she kind of made fun of them. And in my mind, I'm like, I think that was my mom and my grandma. And then afterwards, we go into the lobby after the show to take pictures. I'm like, hi, mom. And then Marcella's like, oh, my God, it was your family. I'm like, yeah, yes. So my mom does that every show as if my grandma isn't literally an adult.
Yeah.
An old one.
Your mom is committed to the bit, and your grandmother has been going to our shows, our own shows, Look at the Live shows, for years. Mm-hmm. We're notoriously said, hay muchas lesbianas aquí.
Yes. And it's true. There are always muchas lesbianas. It's true.
Our demographic.
So yeah, it's been fun. And you have exciting new work and updates out in the world as well.
Yeah, it's been a really busy summer. I have not done, to my dismay, a whole lot of traveling. I think, you know, I'm realizing, you know, you have to plan your summer trips in the fall, in the winter, you know, and since I was in grad school, it just felt like the summer came so, so quickly. It's really only been 3 months that I've graduated and I need to like calm the fuck down, honestly. Yeah. Like it hasn't been that long.
It just happened.
And yeah, so unfortunately, not a lot of trips, but lots and lots of work, which is both exciting, but also exhausting. But again, this is what we asked for. Gideon Network, Gideon Norte, like here we are. And so we've been really busy here at Locatora. You know, we did our mini series, our mental health series, which took a lot of research and writing and booking and searching for guests and the whole thing. And simultaneously, I started pitching to De Los, the LA Times new Latinx Latino initiative. It's their Latino Latinx vertical. And so I pitched a couple articles to them, one about Peruvian restaurants in Downey. That came out on El 28 de Julio, Peruvian Independence Day. And it was so great. I've been trying to get that article out into the world for a while. I even workshopped it while I was in grad school. And so I'm really glad that it finally found a home at the LA Times. And then, you know, so much of what I do is just so much of my writing and my work is just around my own interest, you know. And so at the beginning of the summer in June, I was at a Run Club's Global Running Day and I was running with a bunch of different runners. And there were a lot of different Run Club, like captains, founders. And I like had the realization like, oh, my God, these are like all Latinos. And when you think of running, especially if you're on social media, or if you go to a race, like if you've ever run a race or you've gone to support someone, like the running space can be very white for a couple of reasons. One, like there is like a barrier to entry because like gear can be expensive. If you start getting into it, you think like, oh, running is free. Like I just run outside. But then as you get into it, you realize like, oh, if I'm doing long runs, like I need some type of nutrition. I probably need water. I need correct shoes. I can't just be running in, you know, gym shoes or whatever I've been used to running with. Like, you realize, like, you need actual gear. And then there's race fees. Like, my Zion race, that was, like, $100+, like, just to run 13 miles, just to, like, choose, like, to put yourself through that. It can get kind of expensive. And so when I was at this Global Running Day, I realized how many Latino founders were there and how their whole idea or objective of starting running clubs was really just for movement and had nothing to do with being competitive runners. It had nothing to do with weight loss. And so I decided to profile a couple different clubs specifically in the Southeast LA area and in Boyle Heights, because you can't talk about Latino runners and not talk about the Boyle Heights Bridge Runners. So I did that. And that came out. And then it also came out in print. And so my first piece for the LA Times in print was about Latino runners. And it was really exciting. It was cool. They didn't tell me like this is going to come in print, but it did in the California section of the LA Times.
Very exciting. She's a journalist. And you picked up a copy. But I thought it was so wild. Like you like found out. It was like a surprise.
Yeah, it was a surprise. One of the runners that I interviewed sent me a screenshot of a text from her ex-husband that was like, congrats, because her photo's in the LA Times. And
I'm screaming at the ex-husband.
I know. It's a great detail.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I went to go pick it up. They didn't tell me. I found it. It was like Saturday, August 12th. That's Saturday. And it was really cool. You know, I am like with as a writer, and anyone that's a writer can probably relate to this. If you also go through that procrastination, like existential dread when writing, but to get these two pieces out was excruciating for no reason other than I was experiencing existential dread. Like, why did I pitch additional work? Like, why am I putting myself through this misery of writing when I actually love it, right? But when you're in the process of doing it, it can feel like, for me at least, like dreadful. Like, oh my God, like, why did I pitch this? Nobody made me do this. I gave myself more work, right? And I think that that's where the dread comes in. Like, wait a second, no one made me do this. I did this on my own. And then the piece gets out and you're like, yes, I love this. I can't wait to do it again. I even pitched something brand new. So I'm working on my next piece right now. So it'll come out, you know, sometime in September. But it is like the act of writing for me is excruciating. I question everything. I question myself. I question my talent. It's the whole thing.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for insuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Yeah, that's the hardest part about writing is the writing. It's kind of funny because it's kind of almost like, you know, like with running, like when you run track and the whole motto with track is our sport is your sport's punishment. Like the whole activity is excruciating,
absolutely. But
there's love for it.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say that running is the same way. Whenever I'm doing like a long distance run and I'm not feeling it, I'm like, who made me do this again? Right. I did. I signed up for this shit. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, you see the result and it's great. You love it. You feel happy. You feel, you know, like this story was supposed to go out into the world and hopefully it motivates people to do XYZ or inspire someone to do something else. Who knows, right? And it was, yeah, very exciting. And I think Delos is doing really cool work. And I think if you're an emerging writer, like now is the time to pitch to them. They're looking for voices. And I also want to clarify that I'm not a staff writer. I think this was my first time working on something where I realized that, you know, not everyone understands like what freelancing work is, especially people that you're interviewing. I was interviewing some people and for, you know, one of the two pieces and, you know, they were asking me about scheduling and things that are out of my control as a freelancer. And so I do want to clarify that I'm not a staff writer for the LA Times. I'm just a freelancer and freelancing is its own gig, its own beast. And it's not something that I'm looking to do like all the time, but I do like to pitch things out when I have the ideas.
Yeah, the Delos writers and video creators, like we're all contributors. Ben Delos has Instagram like content, TikTok content, a lot of like video content, and the imprint, which I didn't realize that there was going to be Delos imprint. I thought it was all digital. The project. So it's very exciting that they are also in print. And you were on page two, like the whole page.
Yeah, it was really exciting. And I think, I don't know, for me, there are like things that I want to pitch and just in general, I'm not saying just Delos, but there are things that I've wanted to pitch and I'm like, wait, no, we're going to do this on the podcast instead. So I think for me, it's kind of finding that fine balance of what do I want to have like complete creative control over? Maybe I think it exists better as audio form versus what should I pitch to a publication?
Yeah, I think that's always a really interesting creative conversation. And I think that happens like with different things like, oh, is this podcast something that we want to put over here, or we want to do like this, or we want to do like that, or like, how do we use this idea? And then things land where they're supposed to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even the next piece I'm working on, I think is something that could live on our show. And so I'm thinking of ways to, you know, have a different angle so that we can also do it on our show, because it would be something that our listeners really care about. So TBD on that. But I mean, in addition to all the work, we've also been working on a pilot for our brand new show that's coming out this fall. And it's, you know, having two shows is a lot of work. We knew that it was going to be a lot of work to have two shows, but now doing it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a lot of work.
Well, even like conceptualizing, it's too, what it is like, we haven't conceptualizing a whole new show, right? Like we conceptualized Locatora many years ago, like that initial, like that building block work, you know, like was done such a long time ago. And then like you've worked on another project and conceptualized a whole new project from scratch. And then I've like conceptualized Marihuaneta from scratch. And this is another like just another baby, right? From scratch. And that first episode, that first pilot, yeah, is just, it's world building and creating mm-hmm. something that is adjacent, but unique and can stand on its own when we talk about our other shows. So yeah, it's really cool. And I mean, more updates to come. We're still waiting to hear updates ourselves on this show, but we hope like to bring it to the world very soon.
Yeah, we have a launch date actually. So it is coming and we'll share that with you when we can. But I think the difference between creating a brand new show now, I mean, obviously we have the experience, the knowledge, everything that we've learned over the years. But when we were conceptualizing Locatora Radio, we were like world building. We were creating a little show Bible without realizing it. And mm-hmm. so now that we're doing it very intentionally, it's I think just a very different experience. And I think that also this process has also been easier because it's somewhat of a narrative hybrid show.
Mm-hmm.
This process is easier because I've gone to grad school, because I know what it means to write a narrative script. Shout out Willa, you know, and and just assemble a show in a different way. And so I'm really grateful that I had the experience to get the degree. And that was the whole point of going to grad school. Like, I, not for the sake of going to grad school, but because I wanted us to be able to expand the type of shows that we were making. And I started grad school right before we signed Locatora with iHeart. And so it just, you know, the path that you're supposed to be on, like, everything aligns the way it's supposed to.
100%. Yeah. Like, there's, you've brought in like these tools for organization and for like developing the pilot and the types of questions to ask and how to format things. We also are working with Stephanie Franco. We have a producer working with us to help bring the ideas together and the research and the sound, and she edits. And so the whole thing is different. And also, I think our relationships, like the people that we can reach out to and talk to be involved in the project and work on the project, like, yeah, it's a totally different place than in 2016.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, just moving us along, we recently had a live show with My Cultura, and we celebrated their second year anniversary, their second birthday. And it was also coincidentally had been about 5 years since we had our first Locatora Live. So shout out to you if you're listening and you were at the very first one. And what was so special about Locatora Live in 2018 is that we had Curly and Maya as our guests for the live show. Mm-hmm. And they also now have their own podcast with My Cultura and Sonoro called the Super Secret Besties Club. And they were also had their own live recording at the show, at the My Cultura anniversary show.
Yes. And one of the big differences between our Locatora Live in 2018 and the 2 year show that we just performed at, it was a clean show. So like in 2018, we're talking about sex and drugs and all kinds of things.
Face mask.
Yes.
I remember face mask. There was someone you said Me. That someone recommended to you.
Yeah. One of my former
face mask.
I'll tell the story right now. I had a former coworker who said that her skincare secret was like letting her partner ejaculate on her face. Great. Fabulous. She says, but the secret is you got to leave it on overnight. And you will wake up with the smoothest skin you've ever had. It's like injecting stem cells into your pores. So we were having those types of conversations at Locatora Live in 2018. But the My Cultura 2 year anniversary live event, it was at the iHeart Theater in Burbank, which we were told while we were there backstage is actually the former studio that Jay Leno would shoot the Tonight Show, which is very cool, very exciting, over in Burbank. But this event was way more wholesome and family friendly than our 2018 show because it was sponsored by Kellogg's, you know, cereal, just wholesome, all American. And so we like were kind of prepped, you know, to keep it family friendly. So we talked about wholesome things, about basically our journey as Locatora and podcasting through different eras in our lives. And that live recording is actually going to be available as a Locatora Radio podcast episode that you can stream and listen to.
Yes, that'll be coming out in September. And I think also just the biggest difference for us is that we showed up that day as talent. We were prepped. We had our material. We had our little cue cards. We knew what we were talking about. But we just got to show up and be present, do our thing, and then enjoy the rest of the show. Whereas Locatora Live in the past, if you've ever been, we were building sets. We were working around the clock the week of the show to deliver a variety show. It wasn't just Mala and I talking. We would interview guests. We would play their material. This is also when we started introducing the skits. And so it was a whole production for Locatora Live, just as it was for My Cultura. The difference was that we were the ones doing everything. We would produce and host the live show from top to bottom and then party until 2 a.m. afterwards, which, you know, could only happen in our early 20s because, good God, I could not do that now.
Yeah, we also, at our first Locatora Live, a podcast party, DJ Sizzle played. And DJ Sizzle also played at the iHeart Theater for the My Cultura two-year anniversary event. So it was kind of wild because it's like, wow, do we know how to curate some talent or what? Like, this little group, we were at Civic Center Studio, self-producing, self-funding, selling our little tickets for $5.
Can't believe it.
But that same lineup is here at the My Cultura two-year anniversary event, in addition to Cheekies of the Cheekies and Chill podcast, who was the headliner of the evening and did her thing and answered audience questions. But it's just like so cool to think that this little cluster, how we've just sort of ended up in the same network just because we've been doing it. We've been around and showing up. Also, Roberto, who's our hair and makeup artist, who has been doing our hair and makeup for our shoots and our shows since the beginning, was also there with us at the My Cultura two-year anniversary. So it was just really special.
It was. And Robert joined our team in 2019. I think maybe one of their first events that they did for us was the Tekla Awards, where we did not win Breakout Creator of the Year, but we were nominated, which was an honor. And I want to say that was one of the first times. In 2019 is when we started working, but that was, I remember being one of the first events, along, like, he did the, when we were on the cover of Mint magazine, it's like a digital magazine, he did our makeup then. And so he's just been along the ride with us since 2019. So, and Robert and I went to middle school together. I've known Robert my entire life at this point. And he was living in Seattle. And so when he moved back to LA, that's when he really joined the team in 2019.
Yeah. And we don't really work with anybody else for Locatora related hair and makeup. And Robert does it all. So yeah, it's just really fun. And make sure you guys tune in when that episode is published.
Yeah. Now, moving on, because we were doing our mini series, we couldn't really talk about anything pop culture. And so we feel like there are some things that are overdue that we want to talk about today. For one, let me just say, I went to the Karol G concert this past weekend. I went to the Rose Bowl Friday night. And I've been doing a lot of concerts this summer, which has been so fun. I love live music and I love outdoor venues. I saw Romeo Santos in June. I saw Café Tacuba at the Hollywood Bowl and Carla Morrison and Le Tigre, actually. So throwback, they're like on a reunion tour. And then I went to the Karol G show. And so that was obviously mainstream show. I became a fan of Karol G when she released her past album, Mañana Será Bonito. It's such a really fun, like, healing, but also like some party fun music. And so I went, never thought that I'd go to a Karol G concert, but my friend Silky invited me. She had an extra ticket. And so I went, and let me just say that the vibes were not there. Nada era bonito, let me just say, because I don't know if it's just that we got there kind of late, probably later than we should. This is the first time I've experienced like merch, like being such a big part of the show and the production. I'm hearing like Beyonce is kind of similar. So this concert was kind of a practice run for the Renaissance tour that Mala and I are both going to. And so I've never gotten to a concert 3 hours early. So I'm like 7:30, we're good. No, it was so chaotic to get in. People were pushing. Like, you can tailgate at the Rose Bowl, so it was very dirty, like, already at the beginning of the show. People were really drunk already by 8 o'clock. People were shoving, people were pushing, like, people were fighting over seats. Like, seats were getting, like, taken. People were in the wrong seats. Like, it was wild. I've never gone through so much just to get to my seat. So the concert itself was very fun. She put on a great show. It was very much giving me, you know, pop star, where she had like well-coordinated dance routines. Like, I remember like you know, Britney Spears, Beyonce, Destiny's Child concerts where the dancers would get like a spotlight and they do their own thing. And it's just like such a fun way to see the rest of the talented crew. And she also had like a little short film that played throughout. It was a full production. And so it really gave me, I think, insight into her artistry, which I, you know, since I'm a newer fan, I like don't come for me, never really like appreciated it. But it was an experience. I went through a lot that Friday and the vibes were not there. And then I saw Saturday, people were fighting. Like,
yeah,
like what is, I don't know. Is it the crowd? Is it her fan base? I don't know, girl, but it was like too much. And Silky was like, girl, I cannot fight. And I was like, she was like, I'll start crying. And I'm like, I'm not a good backup girl. Like I probably can't fight either. Like, so we were both like, okay, let's just, you know, let's do our own thing and people, let's just get safely. Like, and we were both so sober because just to get a drink was intense and people were like passed out on the side of the road. And I don't know, for me, like, I love to have a cocktail. I love to drink, obviously. I love to have fun. But for me, I've never wanted to experience a concert drunk because like the odds of you not remembering are pretty high.
Yeah. And not at the Rose Bowl, not at the Rose Bowl of all places. You texted me and you were like, people are barefoot.
People were barefoot walking miles, like barefoot. It was pies descalzos everywhere. And wow. I was very upset. I was very offended. I was like, why? Put the sneakers on, girl. That's why we don't wear block. That's why we don't wear heels. We don't wear heels to the Rose Bowl. We can't.
No, they've never been to the Rose Bowl.
No,
they've never been.
It was an experience to say the least. So also checking in, like Twitter is no longer Twitter.
RIP.
It's now X.
RIP. And we've been tracking the slow, excruciating death of Twitter for a couple seasons now because Twitter has been slowly deteriorating for a long time. But with Elon Musk takeover, the name change to X, just the overall decline in quality on the app. Like, I haven't logged on in a couple months, I want to say, or I haven't tweeted at least. I haven't been on there. And we're on Threads now, but also, like, not really.
Yeah. I was on Threads, like, the first 2 weeks. And then it's still, like, I think it's a good alternative. Don't get me wrong. I just... with the downfall of Twitter, the demise, notes now X, right? It has given me that the room to be on one less social media app. And so I'm not necessarily looking to replace it with something else like Threads. Maybe I will commit to it being on it more because I am more of an IG girly as I'm a millennial, right? But it just, one less thing to be on is actually kind of great for me right now.
Yeah. And I feel like what the element that Threads is missing is each of our Twitter experiences has been carefully crafted over the course of many years and who we follow and our settings and all that stuff and who follows us. And you can't just get that by like automatically following people. Like Instagram people are not necessarily the people you want to follow on Twitter. It doesn't translate.
No, like there are things that I would tweet on Twitter that I would never post on Instagram.
Right.
You know, like, and I feel like for me, Threads has that same feeling. Like I wouldn't put this on Threads. It's so linked to Instagram because Twitter people, we're our own people. Like mm-hmm. It's its own little digital community. It's kind of unhinged. It's kind of the sad girl. It's very like
neurotic.
Unhinged, like I said, but yeah. Then there's also really great discourse that happened over the years, you know, mm-hmm. like it led to political uprisings. Like it was a very valuable tool, which I also feel like why Elon Musk was very much like, we got to take this down because the people are getting like too progressive, or he would say too like snowflakey or what have you. But I don't know. I just think it was intentionally, you know, wanted the app to collapse instead of preserving like what took decades to build.
He's really in that vein of like weird anti-progressivism, but he also sort of pairs that with this weird like sci-fi obsession. But it's And then he like is proud boyish at the same time. He also fancies himself like a comedian. And so it's just like a horrible mix of elements. And like, it's a really good way to tank a platform. And that's that is what has happened. So RIP, we'll probably never talk about Twitter again. We used to be very Twitter heavy as a podcast.
Yeah.
No more.
It's no longer Twitter even. It's just X, which is so weird to say. I'm on X. What is that? What does that even mean?
It's also very unoriginal. Like Twitter was an original name, the cute little bird, you know, you're sending a tweet, the branding is perfect. X is like, oh, X Games, X marks the spot, triple X, you know, double X. Like it's X is used, done. Like it's so odd, like to give it something so generic after it was something so specific. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. An intentional downfall, I feel. And yeah, I don't know. As the times change, like, do we find ourselves on TikTok more? I do think we've been talking about it more in the way that we used to talk about Twitter in terms of maybe where we've get an info. I do think though that we've talked about TikTok in ways of like, how do we bust this misinformation or disinformation? Yeah, yeah. Whereas in Twitter, it's like, oh, this person said something really cool and it made us think about this. So now we're going to do a whole episode about it. And right. I feel like for TikTok, we've been like, ooh, someone said this and that's not all right. That's not accurate. So we're going to do an episode on it.
Oh, totally. Totally. I feel like, you know, Twitter is for the writers, you know? And so, as we know, lots of journalists, lots of writers, lots of people who are thinking, tweeting out quick thoughts, you know, or breaking news, lots of publications on there. And I think on TikTok, those same people are on TikTok, but it's not their element. Their element is writing, not being on camera or creating videos or utilizing dance or music or sound, you know, like it's just different. And so I think that like the people we were loving on Twitter are not, those skills are not crossing over onto the short form video platform, you know? So I think like it's just a whole different crop of creatives because it's a whole different skill set. It's like younger people are thriving on there. People who like come from YouTube or like, you know, Vine, or folks who like are on Twitch and who have been like streaming, you know, like, so yeah, that it just completely changes the experience and who does well on there. I think you can learn. I think you can definitely learn and you can create something new that can pop off. But Twitter's been around for years and TikTok is still like a relatively young platform, even though at this point it has also been around for a few years.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, who knows what happens next with the platforms? Like everything has its heyday. I don't see Instagram necessarily falling off yet, but I know that people are more, at least in my experience, I've heard like people are more on TikTok than Instagram now. But I don't know. I think it's like my little comfort platform, even though it's terrible. It's just like, I would rather be on this than learn something new. And I know that that shows my age, but I've been trying to do TikTok and I just don't have it in me. Well, like I've been saying for years now, I just don't have it in me to start a new platform and be active on it. I like watching people on TikTok. I do. Like I do watch videos and my For You page is like beauty and running and books and all those things, right? But in terms of creating videos, like I haven't posted in a couple of months.
Yeah, it's like hard to keep up with. And you have to feel like, for me, it's like, do I feel camera ready? Like, do I feel like I want to put this on camera?
That's the millennial in us because the people on TikTok are posting, like right now you and I were on Zoom. We're not in the studio because of the storm and it's sunny out, right?
But it's so sunny and beautiful.
We're like fairly casual, right? Me personally would not be on video right now to make a TikTok. I haven't washed my hair in days. Like I'm not doing that. But I also think that but people do it anyway and it works for them. But that's like the millennial in us because we're like, we got to be camera ready. That's like the artist high production in us. We got to be camera ready.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, you know, find us on Instagram at locatora underscore radio.
We're still on there. And just to wrap up our like hefty convo today, I just wanted to share that my 30th birthday is in October. It's coming up. Like beginning the preparation. And I have set like a goal list for myself of some things that I want to do like before I turn 30. And they're just all personal things. They're not, it's nothing like go on a trip or whatever. I mean, we will be going on a 30th birthday trip, but it's nothing like bucket list. It's more like I've always wanted to get a second ear piercing. And I've been putting it off. I like always say like, oh, I'm going to go do that. And I'm like, no, okay, now I have my window because I want like double ears because my mom wouldn't let me get it. Because she was like, no, no, you have to wait till you're older. So I'm going to be 30, so I'm going to do it, right?
Is this old enough, mom?
Old enough. I've been wanting to get a couple new tattoo pieces. So I've also put that in, like, let's do this before we turn 30. And just some, like, other maintenance things. I want to start the new year, my new year, with a new look. And so I'm going to stay in the red family, but I'm thinking like new haircut, new like shade, and, you know, we'll see, and some other things, but it's happening. I'm exiting 29. I can't believe it. I'm really excited. And we have, Mala and I are going on a trip together.
Yes.
We'll share more as it approaches, but just really excited for this new decade.
Oh my God, me too. It's all very exciting. It's all going to be super fun. Can't wait to celebrate you and your 30th. Excited for the trip. And I love when you switch up your hair. You're always like, you're always playing with color and cut. And that's always very fun.
Yeah, I am. You know, it's taken me a long time to let go of my attachment to my hair. I mean, I've been on this journey for actually most of my 20s, this decade of not holding so much beauty attachment and like value in my long hair. One of my like formative relationships, this ex, you know, was very much would always say like, oh, pretty girls have long hair. And it took me a really long time to unlearn that because it became an insecurity of mine. And so when I was no longer with this person, you know, that was when I did my first bob. I was like 20 years old. And like since then, like I've really let go of like, for me, like it's just my hair. I can cut it. I can dye it. It'll grow. I dye it back. It doesn't work. It's fine. I let it go. And so I, you know, I'm bringing that energy also for the new decade, for year 30.
Love it. That's a great way to bring in 30. Yeah. Great way to set off the fall and celebrate yourself. I'm very excited.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Locamores, for tuning in to whatever this was today. A life update.
A catch up.
Summer update. A catch up. We love chatting with y'all and like updating y'all, especially after some like pretty produced episodes. We just like wanted to have a little fun and chat with y'all.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in to another capítulo of Locatora Radio, radiophonic novela. Make sure that you share with a friend, share with your prima, leave us a review, all that good stuff. It all helps. It all makes a difference.
Besitos.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, is executive produced and hosted by me, Mala Muñoz, and Diosa Femme.
Story editing by me, Diosa.
Audio editing by Stephanie Franco.
Thank you to our Locamores, our listeners, for all of your support.
Besitos! Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Femme.
this to your network.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.